Welcome to Interviews at RKG Blog, bringing you stories from interesting people in online marketing.
Hello, this is Alan Rim Kaufman, and I'm honored to be here today with Missy Park, founder and CEO of Title IX. Hello, Missy.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
I am doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Oh, no problem.
For folks that aren't familiar with Title IX, could you give a little bit of the company history?
Well, we are a multi-channel retailer, and we focus primarily on women's athletic apparel and sportswear. One of the things we like to say is that we try and bring the functional athletic apparel to everyday use, the comfort of those athletic fabrics and features that we all enjoy when we're playing sports, but also bring those into the workplace and the weekend.
And you founded the company yourself?
Yeah, I did. I started the company back in 1989 out of my house and had our inventory in the garage. And it was something that only a 26-year-old who didn't know better would do.
I've heard that your first catalog mailing got 3 orders?
Yeah, maybe 3 or 4. I think the more important statistic is that there was only maybe one from someone I didn't know.
I've heard you say that 30% of your first orders was from your mom, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
But you've stuck to it, and the business has grown beyond those humble starts. You have stores now. You've got the catalog, the website. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, I think, you know, we obviously have gone off in a lot of different directions. I think I'm getting reacquainted with my naive 26-year-old again. We have moved off into retail, the bricks and mortar side of the business, as well as, you know, the web to me is just the next iteration of a paper catalog. So, you know, people talk about that as multi-channel, and I just see, you know, this is evolution. It goes on. So we see retail as a way, we sort of see that as our brand billboard, our brand come to life, both in the kinds of staffers that we have there and how we can interact with our customers on a personal and three-dimensional basis. And we see the web is, quite honestly, the next iteration of catalogs.
You brought up brand. I mean, my sense of Title IX is you have an incredibly strong brand, from the models to the choice of the way you describe products to how you answer your phones. Is that something that you've worked on?
You might say that. I think for me, the brand is a very personal brand. The people here, all of our buyers are product users. The folks on the phone are product users. And basically, it's important to us that we be able to speak authentically about what we're selling. So the brand is us, and we are the brand. And for good or ill, I mean, you know, I often say, you know, if we don't hear from our customers, it might be because we've put her to sleep. So we'll often, you know, we'll say things that not everybody likes, and certainly it wouldn't be approved of at Procter & Gamble, but I think that our customers respond to this sort of, you know, everybody's owned by somebody, this increased sense of homogenization and unwillingness to take a risk, but I think that's what people connect to as well. So for us, the brand is all about being personal, if that answers your question.
It does. You talk about risk. I'm looking at your spring catalog. It's really quite neat, and in your President's letter on page 2, you talk about taking risks and not focusing on the trail and not the drop off to the left of the trail, focusing on the opportunity, seeing the finish line rather than the hurdles. Are those business metaphors or sports metaphors? What do you mean when you talk about risk to your customers?
Well, all of life can basically be a sports metaphor, don't you think, Alan?
I do.
So, and I think it's something that women in particular can relate to. I think that the risks that we take can often be smaller ones that feel like, ooh, that doesn't feel so scary. And I think when we start thinking about risk, we think about it in a way that is oftentimes can be focused on the risk rather than the upside of it. And so I just think about, you know, when I run, or actually when I'm riding my mountain bike and I'm trying to go across a skinny log or something like that, I find myself looking at the place that I don't want to go. And inevitably, you go to the place you're looking. And I think it's the same thing in business or really in any part of your life. Once you focus on that thing that you fear the most, you're going to end up right there. For me, both athletically and in business, you kind of got to, whether you got to keep your eye on the brand and what it is that it stands for. And if you start looking down there at all the sharks that might eat you up, then they will.
Yeah, excellent. The paper catalog. What's the future of the paper catalog, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to be, well, it clearly already has not been. It is not revolution. It is evolution. And quite honestly, I feel like the internet solves a lot of pretty intractable problems on the catalog side. You know, things that I think about is inventory management, for instance.
Yep.
You know, we print up 5 million catalogs and in the first week are sold out of our bestseller, but all those catalogs are still out there. Keeping track of the NCOA, the National Change of Address, you know, how do you keep up with people? We're seeing more and more that even on the internet with emails, those email addresses are staying good for longer. People are holding on to those. They can stick with that, you know, DHTCHK at AOL, even if they move four times.
Right.
You know, postal rates, paper, and the environmental concerns. You know, the internet solves a lot of those things. But do I think catalogs are going away tomorrow? No. I think it's very important on the catalog side, certainly for people to know that is it 5 years from now? Is it 10 years from now? I don't know what that date is, but I can tell you that there's no question that the web not only is the way a lot of people are shopping now, but in a way that addresses a lot of catalogers' concerns is here to stay and is going to solve a lot of problems.
I would definitely agree. I think the web makes the direct channel stronger, even if the catalog device might weaken.
Yeah, just things, you know, for me, I think about things that we love to do, the things that we really care about, you know, our community stuff, our brand building. You know, you have to measure it in pennies. How much more is it going to cost us to communicate that message in the catalog?
Right.
And we don't have to measure that anymore. So you can, in many ways, build a stronger brand.
And be interactive. The paper catalog is a one way. You're just talking to your folks.
Exactly right. And that stuff is scary, I think, for catalogers. I was talking with another cataloger, and they started doing some product review stuff. And she's like, wow, and someone reviewed the product poorly, and I didn't know what to do with that. I'm like, well.
Fix the product.
Yeah, well, you can change your product, and you may or may not like it, and there may be some strong reasons why people don't want people to review their products. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's going to have a choice.
Yep.
You know, that's what good retailers are going to do, and we're all going to have to do it.
Excellent stuff. What would you call out as your biggest business challenge you're facing today?
Well, I think ours is more specific to us rather than sort of a global business challenge. Certainly, making that transition from sort of paper is a big one, but it is still, I mean, it's still basic direct marketing techniques. For us, I would say the transition to retail is a completely different business.
Interesting.
And managing, you know, I would say, the direct business, and I would say web or catalog, the direct business is a control freak's dream job, and retail is a control freak's nightmare. So for us, I would say certainly it is a completely new business. Yes, it is retail. We're selling to the inline consumer, but it is a very, very different business, and one that, it's kind of like when I started the business. If I'd known what I know now, I'm not sure I would have done it.
Good stuff. Wrapping it up, what's the single most important piece of advice or pieces of advice you'd give to other online retailers?
You know, my sense with the online retailing is there's a sense of urgency and chaos which can be harmful to get caught up in. You know, that a good business model, painstakingly built and organically grown, is a good business model, whether it's online, in the catalog, or at retail, and I think particularly on the internet now, and has been because things change so quickly there, it is very easy, and I see it for us as well, it is very easy to get caught up in speed at all costs. And I still think, you know, in many ways, the internet is a great place to build a nice, strong business, organically grown, and slowly cultivated to make a great brand with great customer service. And I hope that because of the ease of scalability, we don't forget that ability to also grow a nice, strong, organically, fundamentally sound business.
That's great advice. For folks that aren't familiar with Title IX, the URL is title9.com, and it is really the place to get women's athletic gear if that's what you need to get. So, Missy, thank you. Really enjoyed our conversation today.
All right. Well, thank you, too.
Hey, take good care.
All right. See you later.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. More online at rkgblog.com/interviews.